Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. Thank you for listening to AFR. A lot to talk about today. We're going to get to the top news stories in just a moment. Ray Pritchard is joining me from Dallas. Ray co-hosts Tuesdays and Thursdays here on this program. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tim. How are you?
Doing well, and appreciate you being on with us. You done traveling for the year for the most part?
I am. I was in Oregon over the weekend speaking, and then I have a trip in December to Ukraine to teach the Bible over there, but home for about a month and pretty happy about that.
The Ukraine?
Yeah.
How do you get there?
From here, from Dallas to Atlanta to Amsterdam to Kiev. There's no easy way, right? So it's a hop, skipping, and jumping from America across Europe to Ukraine. Going to be nice and cold in the Ukraine in the middle of December.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Well, we'll look forward to you telling us about that trip when you get back. I'm always interested to hear about what's happening with the Christian church in other parts of the world and how they see the world. So I look forward to your report when you get back. Walker Wildman is in studio taking care of our Facebook page. And Walker, good morning.
Good morning. We're on Facebook Live once again, as we are Monday through Friday. And we are posting all the articles and all the good and bad news on our Facebook page.
So things that we talk about here on the show, people can, if they say, I want
to know more about that.
I want to know more about that. You post the story so they can read them themselves.
Yes, sir. Correct.
Okay. At Facebook for Today's Issues.
Today's Issues Facebook page.
Okay. Good deal. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com, is in studio. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, yes. And I am the conveyor of bad news.
All right, Fred, go ahead.
That's what keeps us going.
Yeah. What do you got?
Well, actually, it's just news today. Out of Athens, Greece, President Barack Obama is making his last, off the United States soil tour. He'll be in, I think he's in Peru.
He's done apologizing, isn't he?
Well, apologizing? He's apologizing? Oh, he's apologizing.
He had the apology tour when he first got to be president.
That's right. Now he's apologizing for the election of Trump. It's very interesting.
Are you serious? Is he
Well,
sort of?
In the way that Barack Obama does.
Okay, so he went to Greece. Excuse me, keep interrupting, but why did he go to Greece? Any particular reason?
Well, there's some kind of conference, I think, economic conference going on. President Barack Obama, as everybody knows, is a promoter of globalization. And, of course, one of the first questions this morning to him during this news conference is, you know, the election of Donald Trump, now president-elect. And Barack Obama was offering up this morning his idea, his thoughts on why Donald Trump won the election. And he said, world leaders need to pay heed to people's very real fears of economic dislocation and inequality in the midst of globalization. Read economic dislocation as losing your job, and inequality in the midst of globalization, losing your job to people who are willing to work for $4 an hour. He says, the more aggressively and effectively we deal with these issues, the less those fears may channel themselves into counterproductive approaches that can pit people against each other. And then he said, both Trump's election and the British vote to leave the European Union reflected the need to deal with people's fears that their children won't do as well as they have. Now, what he's basically saying there, and he said a whole lot more, I watched some of the news conference just before coming to the studio. What basically he is saying is that globalization is good. And the problem in the U.S. election was, and he didn't say Hillary Clinton's name, but basically this is what he was saying, Hillary Clinton did not do a good enough job in selling my agenda. Because later on in the news conference, he said that his agenda over the past 8 years had dealt with those issues head on, and the country is indisputably better off in what I did. So as I say, I think what he was saying is that Hillary Clinton didn't do a good enough job of selling the great success that I had as president of the United States, and that is why Donald Trump is president today. And dismissing the fears, basically, of the American people, he's saying Donald Trump was elected because of irrational fears on the right.
What about that, Ray?
Well, Fred, what I want to know is, isn't that the equivalent of throwing Hillary under the bus?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's pretty brutal, right?
It is. And he gave a news conference at the White House yesterday before he headed out for Greece. And people were noting that in that news conference, basically, he threw Hillary underneath the bus.
Well,
that she blew it.
This,
because at one point, he talked about all the time that he spent 83 days in Iowa to win that first primary.
Yeah.
And so, again, without saying it, Hillary didn't do that, so that's why she lost.
I thought, did he say I spent more time in Iowa than she did, or did he say that in another way?
He indirectly said that. He said
right.
He spent 87 days in Iowa going county to county, which means if I did it and I won and somebody else didn't do it and they lost, that's why.
Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't go to Michigan much either.
No.
She did.
No.
Oh, no. She never thought she would lose Michigan.
Exactly, Ray. Yeah.
Obama right now, he's the superstar of their party. He's all they have left, and he's about to go out because
he
won two terms. He was very popular amongst
and he wants you to know he's not a loser like the rest of the Democrats.
Right.
That's right.
He's got things together, and if y'all need help, he'll be willing to give you some advice.
Yeah. Hillary blew it.
Is that what he said?
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
No, without using the name.
He didn't want to tarnish his
right.
His success story, as it were, by her loss. What do you think about that, Ray? He's kind of surprised.
Well, yeah, I am. But it sort of fits with Obama. I mean,
he was
not a party builder. I mean, Fred, you can comment on this, but I think he's left the Democrat Party in shambles.
Oh, yeah.
In disarray. And not just at the federal level, but down on the governor level and the state legislature level. It's much worse.
Hey, the Republican Party hates to see him go because he has been their best recruiting source and fundraiser that they've had. I mean, but to your point, Ray, in all seriousness, the Republicans have taken over like 36 or 8 or 9 governorships.
It's unbelievable.
They own state legislatures all over this country. They took over the House and the Senate. His policies have destroyed the Democrat Party. They're going to have to rebuild now. It's just funny to me. He doesn't take any responsibility for that. In fact, for losing the presidency, he, as y'all say, quote, throws Hillary under the bus. But she didn't go to Michigan, and she lost there. And so they took some things for granted that they shouldn't have now that they know that. But it's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late because President-elect Trump is soon to take the White House. What else you got there, Fred?
Well, moving on to the transition activities of President-elect Trump, lots of speculation going on. It looks like Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York, could be the next Secretary of State. Now, he had been talked about for Attorney General, but apparently the leanings now are towards Secretary of State.
You know why that's probably not a good idea in my mind? Now, I really respect Rudolph Giuliani. I think he's a patriotic American. The guy's 72 years old, okay? And you're going to be flying all over the world.
All the time.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not that he can't do the job, but he's very capable and would represent our country well. In our interest, I'm just saying, 72 years old, and if you're 72, I'm not saying. I guess I am saying.
yes,
I'm just saying you're not. I'm not saying you're not 42 anymore.
That's right.
And the idea, of flying all over the world all the time, negotiating deals and running interference on an international scale just wouldn't appeal to me.
Well, look what it did to Hillary Clinton. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, physically and every other way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that has got to be one of the most demanding jobs, not just in America, but in the whole world. Mm-hmm. So you would want a little bit more youth. Okay, so Fred, if it's if Rudy goes to state, then who goes to attorney general?
Well, I tell you, amongst conservatives.
Howdy gowdy.
If they could get Trey Gowdy in there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Oh, my. Oh, you talk about the political left's head spinning off their shoulders. You announced Trey Gowdy's going to be the attorney general, Ray. What do you think is going to – they're going to have – I don't know. They're going to have to start.
They will end up moving to Canada. You
know? Oh, by the way, Brother Tim did some research on immigrating to Canada. Fred, you can respond to this. But you know all these celebrities and left wingers who said if Trump gets elected, I'm moving to Canada. Remember that? Well, I was reading an article online from the Hollywood Reporter about this, which is a entertainment industry magazine, but this was their online edition. Anyway, they quoted an immigration attorney in Canada, and he said, whoa, just a minute, it's not as easy as you think to immigrate to Canada, Walker. He said, first of all, you got to prove that you have a job here. Mm-hmm. So you don't, unlike America, where you just walk over the border and say, I'm here, take care of me. In Canada, they say, no, you got to have a job. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be a drain on our economy. And Fred, you know, do you want to speak to that?
Oh, absolutely. You have to have a sponsor. They'll let you come in for a few months, but after that, they want you on your own and not to be a drain to the economy. Mm-hmm. Saw a funny thing. I think you can see this on YouTube. My wife was showing me the other day. There was a weather guy at a station, TV station in Oklahoma, right after the election. And he wrapped up his weather forecast by saying, now, for those of you who are thinking about moving to Canada, you take interstate up here, and you get up here to North Dakota, and then you go across, and he named the road that goes up to Winnipeg. And then you hit the blizzard. And then you hit the blizzard.
You know what these Hollywood stars don't realize?
What?
They would never be able to make a living like they do in America Canada.
Because the dollar's 35% less than the U.S. dollar to begin with.
All of them backed out.
They're not going to Canada.
Samuel L. Jackson, the actor.
Right.
Ray, you saw that. They all backed out.
That's right. They're not. That was just empty. And there's a few of them we'd be happy to send up to Canada.
That's right.
Miley Cyrus, as she said before all this happened, she said, I'm not like all these other ones. He gets elected, and if I say I'm leaving, I mean it. Well, then the night he gets elected, she's like a little whimpering puppy on video going, I accept you, Donald Trump. It was pathetic. But, you know, all the Lady Gaga and Madonna and all these people, Beyonce and all these big – and these are A-list celebrities. I'm not big fans of these people, but they're very popular with the general public, Ray. They couldn't carry Hillary over the finish line.
No. Well, they couldn't. And, she had her problems, right?
Right.
And the truth is, if they move to Canada, it's the end of their career. Mm-hmm. I mean, their future is here. Their money is here. Their fans are here in the U.S. So that was just a whole bunch of empty bloviating. And the truth is, Canada doesn't want them anyway.
That's
so
right.
There.
Yeah. And don't forget, -50 in Winnipeg, Manitoba in January versus Los Angeles.
We'll see what their commitment level is if they stay in Canada, in Manitoba, like you said. That was all a bunch of hot air. They're not going anywhere because life's pretty good here in the good old U.S. of A. Let me reintroduce you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, what are you doing? You posting?
Well, I'm posting on our Facebook page, but I'm also trying to figure out which show where the five women sit around the table.
It's The View.
Yes,
The View.
And I just figured it out. It's The View.
Okay.
Well, I forgot the girl's name on there, but she still is a host on there, but she said back a year ago that she would leave the country if Trump were elected.
Probably Whoopi Goldberg or
Joy Behar, maybe.
Yes. Yeah, I think she used to be on Disney. Mm-hmm. She's a younger, kind of a millennial.
Huh.
But anyways, I was thinking, I think I tweeted out back then that I would pay for her flight, her Delta flight, with my Sky Miles.
Cher said she wanted to go to
Mars.
Jupiter.
Mars or Jupiter.
Mars or somewhere. She was getting out of the...
Jupiter, right.
She was getting off the planet. She wasn't just getting off the Earth. She was getting off the planet if Donald Trump was elected president. Anyway, go to our Facebook page. We're live streaming there, the video of this.
Raven Simone, that's who I'm thinking about. Raven.
Yeah, there's three on one there on that show. I don't watch that, but I'm familiar with it. Candace Burr, Kirk Cameron's sister, is the lone conservative voice on The View. You're listening to Today's Issues. You can go to our Facebook page and find out all the stuff we're talking about. Ray, what else? Excuse me, Fred. What else you got there?
Well, one more with regards to elect Trump's transition. The name being mentioned, and I love this, for press secretary is Laura Ingraham.
Oh yeah, now you're talking.
And I would watch that press briefing from the White House every day just to see how Laura Ingraham would deal with these liberal reporters because she can handle. She's a brilliant lady. She's
a
lawyer.
The only problem is she's not a professional liar.
That's right.
You have to know how to go out and lie to people and what do you call it when you
obfuscate?
That right there, what Ray just said.
That's right.
You got to be a professional
obfuscator.
Obfuscator, yeah.
So, but she's not.
Anyway, prevaricator.
You got to be able just to look at people and just lie right to their face and then walk away and have lunch and not worry about it. Anyway, I don't think Laura can do that. But anyway,
she was asked this morning, she was interviewed this morning, and she did not deny it. She says, a bunch of my friends that I've known for years are now part of that team, that circle.
You mean she didn't deny that she may be the next?
No, she didn't deny that. Okay. And she's obviously, she let it be known that it's being considered. She used to, she clerked for Clarence Thomas for a while.
Very smart.
Smart. She was in the Reagan White House. I think she was a speechwriter at that time, amongst other things, and of course she's a talk show host now. And here's one thing, and we played a clip on our newscast this morning on this. She said she was praying about it.
Oh yeah, she's a devout Christian.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool.
I want to say she's a cancer survivor, Ray. Do you know that?
Absolutely. She
really.
I think it was breast cancer a number of years ago, and unlike some people, she was just when that happened, she was out there about it and had a. She used her platform as a way of helping other women say, look, if you've, you know, don't be ashamed to talk about this. And she is a cancer survivor, fervent Christian. And my only question, guys, is would she give up? She has a huge radio platform.
That's
right?
True. Mm-hmm.
A huge platform. Would you give that up to be the press secretary?
Like I said, she did not deny it. And she indicated, as I said, she's praying about it and all of these things.
We need women like her. And people like her in the White House.
Oh, absolutely.
And also conservatives who can articulate worldviews and positions. And Laura Ingraham is among the best at that. I mean, I think it would be dynamite. I don't know who would take her place. She's probably top 10 as far as national radio audience, Ray, to your point. Well,
she's you know, you have Rush Limbaugh and you have Sean Hannity, but she's up there, right? You know, just up there probably in the top five in terms of radio audience. So be really interesting to see if she – I would love to see. It kind of reminds me of the voice, isn't it? Tony Snow, who did the was press secretary back in the day for
Bush.
For Bush. Mm-hmm. That would be a similar kind of move, only I don't think he had a big radio platform like Laura. So it
would
be.
No, that would be hard to do.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think is going to happen with Trump's business empire, Fred?
Well, what has been said, at least, that he's turning it over to his kids to run. And I suppose that would make sense. But also, there was a story this morning, and I'm not sure of the whole context of this. Apparently, a report says that President-elect Trump, has asked for security clearance for his kids. Now, that has led some to believe, okay, is he going to name one of his sons or a daughter to a high-level position? So it's out there. I think we're going to know a whole lot more by Friday of this week.
Yeah, a lot of the media, that was repeated a lot last night, but Kellyanne Conway said to take these reports with a grain of salt because Kellyanne Conway suggested that Trump in passing just said, could I get my children security access so that they can help me make informed decisions? But isn't there a law that prevents the president from, you can't have family This article I read cited a law where you can't have family, you can't appoint family into the White House and have a White House full of everybody with the same last
name. But remember Bill Clinton, he had Hillary Clinton at the time when he was president. She put together a health plan, which didn't go anywhere. So she was very involved in that administration. Yeah.
What I heard last night was, Ray, I don't know if you heard anything on this. What I heard last night that we're not talking about the highest level like a president would receive a national security briefing every morning from the CIA and the FBI. I mean, we're talking about classified information. We're talking about a level below that where they would be able to talk to their dad about situations and give him feedback and that kind of thing.
Back in the day, John Kennedy appointed his brother as Attorney General.
True.
And you know, nobody really thought very much about that. It's going to be, to me, it's more interesting to talk about the business side of things because we've never had a billionaire in the White House.
That's
He's not going to take a salary. What I thought would have been a good gesture on his part, and he may yet do this, is just say, I'll take a salary and donate it to charity.
Yeah, he says he's
going to. But he's not going to take a salary.
No, $1 at all. $1 a year.
$1. It's a $400,000 a year job. Mm-hmm. So what do you think, Ray? What do you think is going to happen with the Trump empire, the business empire here?
Well, in days past, of course, you're talking about estates much, much smaller. They would put it into a blind trust, right? There is the possibility, I mean, it's been pointed out, he's got his business concerns go around the world, right? Mm-hmm. With the hotels and so on in many different places. He's going to have to be careful. I don't have any advice. I don't work on that level, right?
Yeah.
But he's got to be careful about the conflict of interest because the press is going to be all over that.
Yeah, he's got to let that go. He's got to let all ties, and I believe he's already transferred it over to his kids as far as management of the company. But you can't have your fingers in your old company and be in the White House.
Right.
That we would criticize that if Obama had his own billion-dollar company that he was making decisions on while he's in the White House.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see because that, you know, that to me might be the hardest part of this, one of the hardest parts of this for Donald Trump. I mean, this is all he's ever known. This is all he's ever done. And his name's plastered all over it. And to say bye-bye, because he probably never will be back there again. Let's face it, he's 70 years old.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 74 after a first term. If he chooses to run a second term, he would be 78 when he finishes. You're not going to get back in the business world, doesn't seem to me. What else you got there, Fred?
Well, let's finish up this segment with some really good news.
Give us some real good news, Fred.
Really good news. Everybody familiar with the Freedom From Religion Foundation? Mike A. Weinstein, atheist group, Madison, Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Well, they had a radio show on a local station up there in Madison, Wisconsin.
Right.
All right. The day after the election, the host of the show, this Freedom From Religion Foundation, read the morning paper, the Wisconsin State Journal, and they found out they were out of a job. No more radio show. The station that they have been on.
These are the atheists.
Yes. The station that they were on decided to play 24 hours a day Christmas music.
This fella here you're talking about, Mikey Weinstein.
Uh-huh.
Ask Mikey. He'll try anything. Remember that commercial? Anyway, this fella he's in charge of the
Freedom From Religion.
Freedom From Religion. They're the ones that go around the country harassing towns for having nativity scenes or crosses.
Gideon Bibles.
That's what they do. And they had they were from Wisconsin. There's a small staff out there, but they had a radio show on one station, and they're hardcore atheists, and they got canceled, and
heartbreaking
for
Christmas music. The irony of ironies, right?
That's
there.
That's beautiful.
We're going to be back after the break. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll be joined by AFA legal analyst Abraham Hamilton III.
Most people recognize that one of the best ways to make the transition out of poverty into a more successful life for yourself is through education.
Newsmen Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl will also be in with the latest news. It's Issues and Analysis on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
We are going to the Holy Land in March. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I only lead one tour a year to Israel. It's not my day job. It's just an annual tour that I do as I learn from my dad how to take folks to Israel. And we're going to have a wonderful experience. Most of the folks going are listeners to American Family Radio or supporters of American Family Association. And we're going to have a great time March 9th through the 17th. If you want information on this tour of the Holy Land, you can do it two ways. You can call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's families with an S. And leave us your name and your address, and we'll put a brochure in the mail to you. And if you want to go online, you can visit us at twholyland.com. twholyland.com. Again, won't be long till we close out this tour, so if you want more information, let us know.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. A bunch of perpetually offended atheist agnostics and free thinkers just got a lump of coal in their Christmas stockings. A local radio station has pulled the Freedom From Religion Foundation radio show off the air. Radio station WIBA in Madison, Wisconsin, canceled Free Thought Radio and replaced the show with around-the-clock Christmas music. Well, if that doesn't curdle an atheist eggnog, I don't know what will. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, not big fans of the baby Jesus. They make their living by filing lawsuits against towns who display nativity scenes and Christmas trees. Basically, a bunch of godless Grinches. But apparently, progressive talk does not make for good radio. So the station opted to play Jingle Bells. That means the Freedom From Religion Foundation has been silenced in Madison, Wisconsin. Christmas really is the most wonderful time of year. I'm Todd Starnes.
Brian Fisher here. The verdict is in about the only true and lasting legacy Barack Obama will have. We'll talk about that. Liberal reporters urge Obama to break the law, and Obama seems curiously blasé about the election defeat, and yesterday he tipped his hand as to why. Tune in to Focal Point at 1 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. Walker Wildman's keeping our Facebook page humming over there, aren't you, Walker?
I am. We're Facebook Live. Go to Today's Issues Facebook page, and I just posted the story about Mikey Weinstein. Is that how you say
it? That's really his name, by the way. We're not making that up.
Yeah, about Mikey losing his Free Thought Radio program and being replaced with 24-hour Christmas
That's
music.
Mikey. He'll try anything. Wasn't that the commercial,
news
Ray?
Of the day.
Remember the commercial? Commercial for the cereal? Ask Mikey.
Yeah, right.
Ask Mikey. He'll try anything. Wasn't that the commercial? Yeah, Marker didn't remember it.
Yeah, my head.
Back in the day.
That's right.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Dr. Ray Pritchard co-hosting with me today from Dallas. Hey, it's that time of the year again, folks. It's Christmas. This Christmas season is coming, and of course that means Operation Christmas Child. People all over the country are stuffing shoeboxes full of things that kids need, we're promoting that here at American Family Radio. And joining us to talk about it is David Thompson, who's the director of Operation Christmas Child, the international director of Operation Christmas Child. He joins us now. David, good morning. This is Tim with Ray and Walker. Thanks for being on with us.
Hey, thank you all. It's great to be with you this morning. Really appreciate the opportunity to share.
Where are you?
I'm in Boone, North Carolina. That's where our headquarters are for Samaritan's First. So.
How big's your operation up there?
Oh, it's pretty big. Yeah, we were up to about 650 staff with Samaritan's Purse here in Boone. It's a small town up in western North Carolina. And then Operation Christmas Child, we got about 100 folks here at the headquarters.
But I'm talking about, don't you have a big facility to do all these shoeboxes and all that?
Yes, sir, we do. We have a processing center, we call it here, and we have volunteers come in here and seven other cities around the country, Charlotte, L.A., Dallas, a few other ones. And there's those volunteers give over 1 million hours of service getting the boxes ready to go.
How many how long ago did the Operation Christmas Child shoebox program start, and whose idea was it?
Well, it started back in 1993. The original program started in Wales over in the United Kingdom. A man named David Cook kind of had the original idea. He was actually a radio host of a program there that got folks involved sending gifts to Romania. And then we took over, kind of handed off to us and to Franklin Graham's leadership about 2 years after that. So we've been going strong with it since 1993.
And how many boxes since it started?
135 million have already been distributed in 154 countries and territories around the world.
How do you count?
Getting started.
Now, how do you count those?
Well, we count every single one that comes in. We have
no, you don't.
Drop-off places.
You count every single. Who counts every single one of them? You do? Who's out there
well,
counting them?
Not me. We have the volunteers that are out across the country. We have almost 5,000 drop-off locations in churches and schools and community centers. And, yeah, they count them as they come in. Everyone's a gospel opportunity, so we want to make sure what we have.
David, let's just circle back around for a minute. For the benefit of our listeners who do
sure.
not know what Operation Christmas Child is, tell us about the shoebox, tell us what's in it, and maybe how our listeners can get involved.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, each box comes from a donor. That can be a kid or a grandparent that wants to teach about sacrificial giving, and every box is unique. I take opportunity with my three-year-old son to pack as many boxes as we can and just put in school supplies and hygiene items, different toys that you think a kid might like around the world. And that's where it all starts. And then you can go to SamaritansPurse.org, / Operation Christmas Child, and you can find out where your closest drop-off location is. And, you know, a lot of times it'll be a local church in your community. You take it there, and we'll take it from there.
If you go drop the shoeboxes off at a church, then the church puts them on a truck and sends them to Boone, or what?
Well, there's a process with that.
Okay.
It goes from a drop-off place to a collection center, oftentimes a bigger church or area, and then it goes into those 8 processing centers. And then that's when we make sure that there's nothing that would, soap that would get over the box or shampoo or something. We make sure it's ready to go.
Yeah.
We process each of those, and then we get them into containers and send them around the world.
Walker, didn't you go on a trip?
Yes. Yeah, I went down to the country.
When was this?
Last year I went to the country of Grenada with the Operation Christmas Child team, some of the team members, and I actually experienced what it's like to deliver the boxes to these children, a lot of them impoverished that don't get Christmas gifts, a lot of them. And it was amazing seeing their faces as they ran up and got their boxes. And it's truly a blessing. You know, you may not know where your box ends up, but what Samaritan's Purse does and Operation Christmas Child is they assure you that your box will be used to touch a child's life. And the gospel is also presented with each box.
Mm-hmm. Operation Christmas Child, it's that time of the year. It's don't let this pass you by. Be a part of it. And David, I know your team's up there working diligently, this is your big time of the year. And we would just pray for you. And anything else you wanted to tell our listeners?
Well, just thank you for the support. And absolutely, every box is planting a seed of hope. It's strengthening local churches. All this project is nationally led in over 110 countries. So just like Walker said, we're going to share the gospel. It's going to be really simple in a way that the children can understand, have an opportunity to respond, and then they'll have the opportunity to go and share their faith with their friends and family.
Yeah.
And we see that time and again.
Hey, David, thanks so much, my friend. God bless you and your efforts, and we will certainly keep you in our prayers as you get these shoe boxes that are being stuffed by Christians all over America to all the different places of the world that where these children can be witnessed to by this act of love and charity. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. God bless.
Okay, David Thompson joining us. What do you think, Ray?
You know, that's such a terrific ministry. You say to yourself, can a shoebox make a difference? Well, you know, I mean, Walker, you've seen it. I mean, in these countries where they have so little, these children get the shoeboxes and their faces light up. And this, it's not much on our side, say from the Americans, it's not much on our side to give a shoebox, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it makes such a huge difference on the other end. You're brightening the life of a child that doesn't have very much, and you're sharing with them the love of Jesus. I can hardly think of anything better mm-hmm. that we could do in the world today.
Yeah, my wife and I were turning in our shoeboxes this week, and it's such an, like you said, Ray, it's such an easy thing to do for us. You know, go to Dollar General or Fred's or Walmart or wherever you want to go and just get a couple things, maybe toothbrush, toothpaste, things like that, maybe some toys, some hygiene items. And you would be amazed at how much simple things like that that maybe we take for granted, how much that blesses the lives of these children.
Hey, folks, let me remind you, talking about places to shop, Walker, we're still advocating that people don't go to Target right now. Target still maintains their open bathroom policy where they welcome men into women's restrooms and changing areas. And mm-hmm. they haven't changed that policy. They've been hurt significantly financially because a lot of people are boycotting Target, not shopping there. And we have the evidence of that was in the last financial report
yeah.
that they had. They got another one coming up this week, I think tomorrow. So Target, you know, nobody enjoys promoting a boycott of a company, but my word, Target has said we don't have safe spaces for women and children in our stores. And
mm-hmm.
we just think it's and 1.4 million people, nearly 1.5 million people, have signed the Boycott Target Pledge. And we just hope that Target will change their policy and, again, say men go to men's restrooms, women go to women's restrooms. And if you don't know what you are or you're confused, we have a private bathroom for you. Call a family restroom. That's mm-hmm. all you got to do. Ray, and I think that
they could have solved this months ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have cost themselves millions and millions and millions of dollars. And I don't even know, how do you quantify the negative publicity
right.
that they have received, especially in the evangelical Christian community?
Mm-hmm.
People who, I mean, there are people mm-hmm. like my wife and I who
right.
who would shop at Target,
right?
Right.
Right.
And will be glad to again when they wake up and change their policy. I mean, they've hurt themselves badly in a competitive marketplace. That's something you don't want to do.
Yeah, and I want to mention to our listeners and all of our supporters, we've been very busy with this election cycle, and it's sucked all the oxygen out of the room, and we haven't had time to talk about the Target subject much. But this week, we're going to ramp up our Target effort and remind our supporters that we are still boycotting Target. And one neat thing that we're coming out with that will be public later this week. Well, it'll be public now, but what you'll actually be able to participate is we're going to have a Target Boycott Target t-shirt.
Really?
And Boycott Target buttons.
Okay.
And on the t-shirts, they're going to say, "I boycott Target, ask me why."
People are asking us for those.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you'll be able to wear your boycott.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And you
ask
know,
me why. Like
yeah,
that.
Ask me why. The other thing is, the interesting thing is about Target's foot traffic in their stores is way down since the boycott started. And, you know, the other thing is what this accomplished was that, Ray and Walker, is that it stopped all these other companies from doing
right.
the same thing. It stopped them in their tracks.
Right.
We know for a fact there were some major companies mm-hmm. that were going to do the same thing Target did, make an announcement that men were now welcome in women's restrooms. And changing areas and shot wherever women were, they weren't safe anymore from men going in there. This was something Target was proud of. And And these major companies just that are household brands just like Target stopped what they were going to do because they saw people boycotting Target, and it shook them up. So it served its purpose beyond just impacting Target. So anyway, but this is Christmas shopping season, and we encourage people to take their business somewhere else. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, what's this story in Florida? I think you mentioned it to us about a police officer or a deputy, sheriff's deputy, that was in trouble. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Tell our listeners about this.
Yesterday or recently, a sheriff's deputy pulled over someone on the highway.
This is in Lee County, Florida. I think that's Panama City Beach area.
In Florida, and the deputy and the suspect who he had pulled over got in a scuffle on the side of the road, and apparently a passerby stopped to help the officer, and this person obviously had a concealed carry permit, so they had a firearm on them. And this good Samaritan shot the suspect who was beating up the police officer. And he warned him several times to get off the officer, to stop, and he wouldn't. So he used his constitutional right and defended himself and the officer, and he's a hero now.
Did you hear about this, Ray?
No, I did not. Okay, go back over that again. So there's a passerby, a good Samaritan, if you will, who is licensed to carry and has a gun, and he sees this suspect who's jumped a police officer and is beating him up, and he intervenes. So say that story again, because this is a good kind of
story. It's in Lee County, Florida. I want to say it's Panama City, but I'll have to look that up.
Here's what a witness said. A witness said that, quote, that the suspect, quote, just kept beating him and beating him, referring to the officer. The suspect kept beating the officer, throwing him to the ground and punching him all in different directions. And so he refused to get off the officer, and the officer kept yelling, quote, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him.
Right. The officer saw that he's going to die.
Right.
And he's telling this other guy who's there, shoot the guy.
Yeah.
Shoot him, shoot him, shoot him. Well, the point is, this is a another example of our Second Amendment rights being used to defend and protect innocent human life.
Exactly.
And if the person would not have had
it. Who knows?
You know what I've never understood, Ray, is that the gun, those who are for all kind of gun control and stiff regulations on some of them are just outright against gun ownership.
Right.
Mm-hmm. On the left. Right. They've never had a satisfactory answer to me for this, that if you outlaw guns, only bad guys are going to have them.
That's by definition, right? Because they're not going to follow the law anyway.
Right, right. So you, the bad guys, you know, I've mentioned this before. One of the funniest things I saw about gun control was this was in New York, and there was some city councilman or something, and he was running for office there in the state of city of New York. On gun control, you know, we got too much gun violence. We need gun control. And as if guns run around doing violence on their own, you know, just leave the house in the morning looking for somebody to take on. You know, guns do that by themselves. But anyway, so thought they would test the city council candidate to see how committed they really were to this idea of gun control. And so they walked up to the door, they knocked on it, the gentleman came to the door, and they had a sign for him, and the sign said no guns in this house. And they asked the gentleman, would you since you're committed to gun control, would you please put this in your front yard?
Right.
No guns in this house. And he wouldn't do it. Why won't you, if you're such a big gun control advocate, why won't you put a sign in your yard saying no guns in this house? Ray, why do you think maybe he wouldn't do something like that?
You know, you see these cities that say gun-free zones and so on. So, fine. Why don't you just put that up in the front yard? Well, we all know why.
Yeah.
Because that's an invitation to the bad guys. Mm-hmm. Break in here because you're not going to get shot.
Right, right. I remember the one of the most hypocritical cases here of this was there was a – this is a few years ago. There's a very liberal columnist in Washington who wrote for the Washington Post called – I think his name was Carl Rowan. And anyway, big gun rights advocate. I mean, gun control advocate, and he wrote about this all the time. Well, there was a story one night about what happened at his. There was some teenage boys going through his backyard in the middle of the night, and he got scared. And guess what he did? He got out his pistol that he wasn't supposed to have.
Was supposed to have, right?
You know, these honestly. Right. I have a Mississippi concealed carry permit, and when I see these store signs, these gas station signs that say no guns allowed,
right.
I'm like, I feel unsafe going in these stores because if somebody's going to rob a store, they're going to go to the store that says no guns allowed,
no guns
and they're
going
to take their gun in there that they illegally obtained, and they're going to rob store.
I don't understand that. I really don't understand why you say no guns allowed as if the person who's going to commit a crime – the criminal is going to walk up to the convenience store.
Oh, no, I got to put my gun back in the car now.
Yeah, and then walk back to the car, and you say, you know what, Bill? I cannot go in there, man. Look at that. There's a sign on there. How are we going to rob this store if I can't take my gun in?
If all we needed was signs to stop criminal activity,
I don't know.
Go
to the next door. Maybe there's not a sign. We'll see if we can rob it. I'm just getting tired of these no guns policies. Anyway, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Do most states, Walker, have these?
The majority of states have
allow
concealed
you to,
carry. You can, just about every state you can own and conceal carry a firearm. Only states like California, D.C., the District of Columbia, New York, a couple of the left-leaning states are very, very strict on gun ownership and concealed carry.
Well, you know what you hear? One of the problems with this whole debate, Ray, and I mentioned it earlier, is if you listen to people on the left, they always use the expression gun violence. You watch them. They'll say gun violence.
Gun violence, right.
Not criminals using guns,
right?
Or
not
gun
criminal violence, right?
Yeah, as I said, as if guns leave the house every morning, you know, go out searching
by themselves,
yeah, right. Searching for victims, and then that's what gun violence is. It's a way to change the debate.
Well, it's the old thing: he who frames the question wins the debate. If you frame it as gun violence, then you're really taking the emphasis away from the criminal who uses the gun in pursuit of violent criminal activity, and that's where the emphasis needs to be. One could hope that with the new administration, we will see a return of sanity in this regard. I hope so.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Check out our Facebook page. What else? You got something else, Walker?
Yeah, I'm reading these headlines on the front of the Drudge Report, which is a go-to for most conservatives. And I'm seeing where Chicago, Los Angeles, Boston, and a couple other cities have... Well, let me set this up for our listeners. The term sanctuary cities, which is referred to in the political debates, is a sanctuary city is a city who ignores federal immigration deportation laws, and they sanctuary and they keep illegal immigrants. So these illegal immigrants, if they don't want to be deported, they go to these, quote, sanctuary cities, and they feel safe there. They won't be deported. Immigration control won't come in there and send them back to their home country. And so these sanctuary cities, which harvest thousands of illegal aliens.
Harbor
thousands of illegal aliens. They're telling Trump now that we won't deport. Essentially, we won't follow federal immigration laws. And
well,
so this is going to be a showdown.
Basically, they're just repeating what they've already said, although they knew they could get away with it under the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not as if this is a new policy, right? Chicago is just saying, Mr. President-elect, we don't really care what you say. We're still going to be a sanctuary city. Doesn't that, Tim, set up a doesn't that set up a showdown between the federal government in the next administration and in Chicago, Boston, L.A., and certainly also San Francisco?
Yeah.
What's going to happen then?
Yeah, well, I think here's what could possibly happen when President-elect Trump is sworn into office, and if these mayors and these cities who are harboring illegal immigrants continue to flaunt, you know, sort of flaunt the law. We do have federal immigration laws, people. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. There's a legal way to come into America, and what these people are saying is they're not going to abide by that. Well, if President Trump and the Congress wants to, they can deny these cities federal money for things that until these cities decide to comply and cooperate with federal law. Now, here's the whole part of the discussion about immigration that I understand it somewhat, but I don't understand it. And that is this, Ray. If you get past all the charges of racism, and I agree Donald Trump could have said things differently and better when he first talked about building a wall and securing the border, where he talked about Mexico's not sending us their finest. Do you remember that?
I do.
And he said some are rapists, some are drug lords, some are whatever. Anyway, that was interpreted as an attack on all Mexicans are terrible people. That's not what Donald Trump meant. Mm-hmm. I think most everyone knows that, but it was just mass hysteria after that. Oh, my word, he's calling every Mexican in the world a terrible – he's calling them terrible people. That isn't what he was talking about. He was correct that a lot of people who come over our border are here for bad reasons. They're members of drug gangs, drug cartels, crime. They commit, you know, facilitating crime across borders. That he could have said that a lot better. I agree, and I understand how some Mexican folks would have been offended by the way he said that. But that takes the it takes our eye off the ball here. Mm-hmm. The real thing is we're evidently going to have to build a border, as in a physical fence or a wall along the Mexican border, to stop people from coming into our country illegally.
Yeah.
Now, they're coming over here illegally. We don't know who they are. And that is any country, and every country that's sovereign has a right to deny to control their borders.
Yeah.
If we didn't have a problem with these thousands and thousands and thousands of people every year coming violating our immigration laws, they're the ones who are coming here illegally and ignoring our laws, and then they get here, and then a lot of the people in the country want to say, well, it doesn't matter that they're here illegally or we don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
We need open borders. And if you're for a border to control your country and who comes in, then you're a racist. You're a xenophobe. Mm-hmm. You're a bigot. And I think a lot of what happened with Donald Trump's election here was people were reacting, saying, no, I'm not. And I'm tired of you calling me that. Just because I want to know, you want our borders to be controlled.
Right.
It does not make me a racist. I'm tired of you calling me that. So therefore, I'm voting for Trump.
Yeah.
To show, you know, so that's.
They did.
I want to talk more about that a little bit when we get back, Ray. But I think people who want law and order and border security just had it with the name calling. And, you know, Mexico controls its border.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
You get severely punished if you're a Honduran and you're coming over the Mexican border down there.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yeah. So I mean, anyway, Trump's changed the conversation, and things are about to change. I really believe that. We'll be back after the news. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.